Good morning, church family, and welcome to another Lighthouse podcast. For those of you just joining us, my name is Jeff Glenn. I'm a pastor here at Lighthouse, and it's my joy and pleasure to take you through the Bible and see what we can find. We've been in 1 John, and most recently, John has been talking about the last hour. So we're in the second chapter of John's first letter here, and he's talking about the last hour as we await Jesus's return. And so in the span of our history, this waiting is relatively and comparatively small. From eternity's perspective as well, the last hour is really where we live. And so this is the time since Jesus ascended until he returns again. And so we'll get into our scripture today. It's 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life, that these things I have written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you. But the anointing with which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. And so we see here that John is talking about the capital A Antichrist and the Antichrists and connected to those who were not of us. And so we see that John is describing this Antichrist, this capital A Antichrist, as a liar and one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. And so we know who the father of lies is because Jesus told us in John 8 when he was contending with the Pharisees. He said to them, paraphrasing, that if God were their father, that they would love him. And then he goes on to say, and we'll read here, it says, "For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come from myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So this father of lies, the devil, the Antichrist, who is opposing Jesus, opposing those who believe in Jesus, trying to pervert the gospel into something that it isn't. This is all of what John is writing to caution us against. Paul describes the Antichrist in very much the same way in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 when he says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if it's from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And so we see what John is warning us of, right? This opposition to Christ, the opposition to the gospel, and the one who's trying to set himself up to be instead of Jesus. And so we also see that John is warning us from this falling away, as we see in verse 19. He mentions those who, as he says here, they were not from us, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were with us. And so these are the people who have fallen away from the gospel, fallen away from the believers, and they're the ones who are denying that Jesus is the Christ, denying the faith and the gospel, and trying to get others to do so as well. And we know that because they did not remain in belief of Christ. And so they show their true colors because they did not abide in Christ, and they fell away. Now, you know, we need to be cautious here, because for sure the story of the prodigal son certainly applies in our day. There's, you know, he is the one who enjoyed the favor and the provision from the Father and stepped away from that for a period of time, but then saw the error of his ways, and he returned in humility and was received back with love and affection from the Father. And so that story shows God's long-suffering. And this is different than what John is talking about, though. He's talking about something that we can't necessarily discern on its face, but more of what is the long-term position of the one who is believing or has stepped away. Will they indeed abide, remain in Christ and what they've believed in him? In verse 24, he says this test regarding denying the Father and the Son, and Jesus. He says here, "Therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father." So this idea of remaining connected to the Father and to the Son through the gospel and through our belief in Jesus as our Messiah. And so verse 27, he says, "But the anointing with which you receive from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things as is true and is not a lie, just as it has taught you, will abide in you." And so this isn't that we're going to know all things, right? We're not going to know calculus or the expanse of the universe. What John's referring to here is that which is necessary to bring us to salvation, right? And so not only were they denying that there was no resurrection in John's day, they were denying that Jesus wasn't divine and all other manner of things that they wanted to take away from the gospel and add to the gospel, so that from their perspective, people could be made right with God. And so what John is saying is we have the Holy Spirit who helps us discern all of those things that are necessary to come to faith in Jesus and to maintain our faith in Jesus. And so those who are coming from outside trying to tell us different ways of maintaining our salvation or different ways of attaining salvation that is opposed to the gospel, those are the things that we don't need to be taught. And so for those people who oppose God in their hearts and want to set themselves up as one who has some kind of insight to holiness or pathway to God apart from the true gospel, these are what John is talking about, the antichrists and those who oppose or instead of Jesus. And so John's advice to us, which applies to us today as it did to them, you know, abide in Jesus, remain in him, right? Stay connected to our first love, you know, the gospel that Jesus, you know, came for us. He lived a life that we couldn't live, and he died a death that we couldn't die, so that we could transfer our sin and exchange it for his righteousness. And so this is what John is saying. Stay connected to that. And that way, when we see Jesus again, we'll have that confidence, and we won't be put to shame for our faith in Jesus. So I hope that's encouraging you for today. Have a blessed rest of your week.